Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Absolute Comics. My name is Benny, that is Sal, and today we're going to be going through a very small list of topics. So have you read any comics?
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a comic book show.
Yeah.
And comic books could come out, well, technically, but not for long.
Yeah,
we record
these
shows on
more...
Tuesdays. Yeah, it's going to be a waste, man.
We're going to have to start recording these on Fridays. I hope you don't have plans.
So if you, thankfully I'm very not busy Friday nights, but DC is moving all their releases from Tuesdays to Wednesdays back when returning to a form when DC's used to be on the same day as everybody else. So
okay. What do we think the reasoning behind that is?
Do you think
sales took a hit and they're blaming the move?
I don't think it's necessarily a financial decision.
If you go in Wednesday and you're getting your books, if they're in a pull pile, you already got them. You don't even know what day it came out. And two, the DC are already on the shelf. So,
well, that's in most of my comic book stores, DC books are not on the shelves on Tuesday. They are on the shelves on Wednesday. Most comic book retailers that I have experienced have essentially said, yeah, no, to the DC Tuesday thing. A couple of like more vigilant ones, maybe ones that are better staffed, or have a more robust staffing situation, can afford to get their books out on Tuesday.
Right.
But it's a bear to get all those books on the shelf. First of all, the books usually arrive Monday or Tuesday. So you spend all of Tuesday. A lot of comic shops are actually closed either Monday or Tuesday so they can put all their books on the effing shelves and get them into the inventory, digital inventory. In this case, it's like, I'm not going to do that twice. I'm going to do it all in one day. So like in my case, one of my comic shops used to put all their DC books into a long box that I assume all their books went into, like all their books had long boxes in alphabetical order. And in this case, they went, all the DC books go in that long box, put it behind the counter. So on Tuesday, if anybody knows a book came out today, they ask for it. But otherwise, it'll be on the shelf tomorrow, which is Wednesday.
Well, I also think part of the problem is that DC really didn't, on the general public, make them aware.
Hell no. No, it was they did a little bit of a rollout when they first did it, but they didn't keep reminding people. And I think the reason for that is because boots on the ground, the people who ran DC Comics, and I don't mean like the people who are technically in charge of DC Comics. I mean like the people who actually make DC Comics run didn't believe in it at all. I think like part of the reason why we're getting a DC Marvel omnibus crossover or two is also tangentially related to the fact that comic books are coming out on Wednesday from DC again. I think there's like some kind of a like quiet, subtle shift within the like managerial department of DC that is making things more in line with the way they should be as opposed to the way that they like operate. Because the decision to switch distributors during the pandemic, I understand it was like a shrewd business decision that they felt was necessary, but it was also a decision that was made by people who did not really understand the industry very well.
No, because they did two distributors.
They did two distributors, one of which was a direct competitor to the national market, right? Because one of them was run by Midtown Comics, which is a national distributor / comic book store that is, like, if you want a new comic book, you go to your local comic book store to get it. That puts money in the pocket of your local comic book store.
Right.
Or you could just set up a pre-order system with Midtown Comics and around Tuesday or Wednesday, your book will arrive in the mail. I mean, I understand that's, you know, that sounds enticing, but it doesn't help any of your local comic shops.
I mean,
so
what I did
at comic book store,
because it was easier to have them sent to me from Midtown than it was to actually like function as, I mean, every year I'd move. I don't want to go find
a new
comic shop.
I did the exact same thing when I went to college. I also set up a system with Midtown Comics because I was like, well, and genuinely wasn't because I was like interested in their effort. It was more like I didn't know anyone else.
That's how I did it, because I would online, I'm like, well, how do I get these sent to me? And I gotta move a lot, so I just want to be able to change an address and that's the end of it.
And
not
so
have to go make new friends, get to know the shop again.
Oh god, what a nightmare. I mean, especially if you're just gonna move after 6 months or 8 years or a year or two anyway. But I think that, you know, DC made that decision in haste, but it was also made by people who didn't really know the industry very well. And when I say that, I don't necessarily mean that they didn't know their business. I mean that they didn't know the kind of push or degree or response they were going to get from the retail market and from the audience who didn't really understand it anyway. So now we're kind of just like returning to form. It's like things are finally settling back into where they should be. But that doesn't mean everything's sunshine and rainbows.
No,
I'm just saying, you know, maybe some things are getting back to the way they ought to be.
And one of those things is DC books coming out on Wednesdays.
I mean, yeah. I miss those days. I do. Because back when I was, you know, where it's a new and comic story and wasn't running four or five channels, wasn't humbly bragging about all the shit I'm doing.
Naturally. yeah, when it was just Benny hanging out and occasionally making a comic book video or two and streaming video games.
And that's what I was doing. I would every Tuesday drive to GameStop because GameStop would have the games only came out on Tuesday. There was no Thursday or Friday releases. There was
no
Tuesday. And then you had the occasional Friday. So I'd go to GameStop, see what just came out. And then I would go to the comic store on Wednesday, and that was where I hung out, like get my social interaction at those two places. So, and I kind of miss those days. Like, I don't have anywhere to go anymore.
It's true. I mean, even my local, my most local comic book store moved a good 20 minutes further away. And I just tried to get to there recently because they had a dollar bin sale, and just dealing with parking, I spent 25 minutes getting to the store. And then I spent another 15 minutes just trying to find an effing parking space. And for me, that's like, I may never come back to this comic book store ever again.
Yeah.
If you're going to add an extra 10, 15 minutes just for looking for, just driving around the comic book store, eat me. That's never going to happen. I'll just drive.
For me, it was similar. When I moved away from my last house to this house,
yeah,
my comic book store, I had 20 minutes of the drive to get there due to traffic. And I kind of just stopped going. It wasn't intentional.
It's easy to do. It's easy to just fall into those habits.
Yeah. But then people wonder what's the problem with comic book stores. Like, there's a number of issues. One of which is how close are you to everybody you're trying to sell to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, long story short, we're probably not going to be able to talk about what came out the day that the DC books drop in, I think it's April when it's happening. But for now, I also didn't read any books because...
Well, we'll just be a week behind again like we used to be.
Yeah, which is fine.
Stop showing up being like, did you read? And you're like, no. And I'm like, let me spoil.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like, oh my God, the latest Batman. Yeah, that does happen. And we can still do that for at least another month.
Okay, cool. So I can spoil Batman for you for the next two times because that's the next two we're going to get. Awesome.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, cool. Can we do a special episode tomorrow so I can spoil Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah, right? Ultimate Spider-Man does not come out this week.
No, I got messed up by that. So I'm writing the schedule for everyone because we would have had Godzilla out today.
Totally.
And I guess I looked at the wrong week. So I'm like, nothing comes out on DC. So we'll just do Ultimate Spider-Man this week. No worry about it. And then I'm getting all these pings like, where's Godzilla?
Yeah.
What do you mean, where's Godzilla? Godzilla is not out.
Yeah. You're like, oh no.
Exactly. Oh no.
Oh no, it was out. Yeah.
So we're doing a rush job on that tomorrow.
Smart.
All right. So let's go through our topics then. Yes. Apologize to anybody who did not watch the Twitch live show. Just so you know, we do film these live at twitch.tv/comicstorian every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern. The pre-show went way, way longer than expected.
Yeah. That's true.
Marvel confirms that Nova MCU project is in early development, and it seems like it's going to focus on Richard Rider. Rumor has existed.
Oh my God, yeah.
For like 10 years that we're going to get a Richard Rider Nova.
At the very least, like, they did introduce the Nova Corps. It's not like it came out of nowhere. It's not like people talking about how badly they want to see a Blastar movie or a Sleepwalker picture. Like, we're talking about they did introduce the Nova Corps and Nova
I think the rumor started then.
Probably. I mean, that makes sense. And Richard Rider fans are a very vocal minority of the comic book group, although they also don't buy the effing Richard Rider books when they come out. So, you know, what can we say about that?
But that is the reason why Sam did so much better.
Yeah, yeah. Financially, folks. Not that he's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I am actually happy they're doing Richard Rider at first, though, because I actually like the Sam Alexander stories, but it only works by having Richard Rider exist and be there ahead of time.
Totally. Well, also,
otherwise, Sam is just a guy that gets a random power. But if we have Richard Rider, it's like, no, that's Nova.
Yeah, yeah.
He's screwing it up. Like, that's what you want.
Also, you have someplace to go. You can do, I mean, you know, optimistically speaking, you could do two or three Nova movies, which I don't think is going to be a reality we live in. But then again, there's a friggin' Eternals movie. So, whatever. But I can imagine them being like, we're going to make a couple of Nova movies. Maybe Nova shows up. Maybe he's a member of the Guardians. Maybe whatever. Maybe we do Annihilation someday. And then we can either kill him off or have him retire. Obviously, what we do in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we don't kill characters. We make them get married and have children and go away. So he'll do that.
Bye, Thor!
Bye, Thor. Bye, everybody. Eventually, Doctor Strange will do that, too, because he loves Christine so much. Never mind the fact that in Doctor Strange 1, he's like, what are we? We're not friends. We were barely lovers. And now it's, I love you in every universe. So anyway, But anyway, when you retire Nova, it's like, oh, and now Sam's Nova.
I think it's a wise idea. There's a few characters that the legacy ideas do work. I think that you know, they went a little crazy on the concept of a legacy idea. Like, I love Jane Foster Thor. I don't think she should have ever been called Thor. Yeah. She should have been Valkyrie from the beginning, because then the development of Valkyrie makes sense.
It wouldn't have sold.
Huh?
It wouldn't have sold. They made Valkyrie books. They don't sell. You got to make her Thor.
You do it for the shock value. Yeah. But I think she stayed Thor too long to be able to move her to something else.
Well, that's true.
I feel like she should have come out as Thor. That should have been the thing. And then in like volume 2 or 3, it's like, okay, she can't be Thor. Thor is literally over here now.
Yeah.
So Thor's back. She has to take a new title. And then you can transition her out. And she, because whenever they try to have a book about her now, it doesn't sell, because no one knows that is female Thor. That's who that is.
Right. They don't know that that's Thor. They don't know who Valkyrie is. Valkyrie itself is not a brand that has like legs, unfortunately. It just doesn't.
They missed an opportunity to give it legs, is what I'm saying.
Well, also, like, people who like Jane Foster Thor like Jane Foster Thor. What is Valkyrie? The outfit is wholly original, and I think it's actually okay, but again, it's not going to appeal to people who want female Thor. Like,
I'm actually surprised when they brought her back as Valkyrie, they didn't just keep the female Thor outfit.
I mean, one day Marvel will get the message, but it'll be 10 years past its expiration date, and she will wear a Thor costume. I mean, or you could just do two effing Thor books. One's called Mighty Thor, and that's Jane Foster, and the other one is Thor, just called Thor, and that's starring Thor. And then
you just make sure the covers have female Thor or regular Thor, and you know what you're buying.
These are the decisions that you would have made 30 years ago and would have just kept the line going. But instead, you got to overthink it and go, oh, I don't know. I mean, like, on one hand, I could see a lot of people, like us included, who are like, make Jane Foster original character, make her Valkyrie. But again, you know, editor me would be like, but Valkyrie won't sell.
Right.
Like, whatever we're trying to accomplish.
All you got to do is start it up as the Mighty Thor. Get a couple volumes in, rename her to Valkyrie in book.
Yes.
But the title of the book is The Mighty Thor Valkyrie.
Right. Boom. But you're gonna, I promise you, the second you make that switch, you're gonna lose sales. It's gonna drop.
Yeah.
It's gonna drop. I don't necessarily have a solution, but I mean, the solution was the same as Superior Spider-Man. Oh my God, people like him. Oh my God, it's selling exactly the same as Amazing Spider-Man. And listen, it replaced Amazing Spider-Man, so it was going to sell those numbers, but like, that's your flagship book. You got to try it.
Yeah.
So you make two books, Superior and Amazing, and then those are your only Spider-Man books you put out. And then you get two bites. Instead, with the, you know.
The return that they're doing right now for Superior is not working. Like,
well, it's nothing.
The plot's okay. I don't mind the plot.
The plot's fun, but it's not Superior Spider-Man. It's not a return. It's not anything.
Dan Slott is doing the most roundabout way to bring back Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's like, hold on. You can't be Superior Spider-Man. You didn't have a death. And I'm like, well, it's Anne Marie. You just called it for me, Peter.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, like, I mean, you know, Slott can play the long game, because Slott's not leaving. You know, Slott is here. And if you tempt him with a Spider-Man book, he's going to take it. So Slott knows, unlike someone else, and I'm not going to even throw anybody under the bus, but like, anyone else in the Marvel bullpen who isn't Jed McKay doesn't know whether they're going to get 5 issues or 12 issues.
Yeah.
So except for Dan Slott, who's like, oh, you give me a Spider-Man book, I'll get 50 issues out of this.
Oh yeah.
If I want them, it's mine to reject or accept. So with Dan, it's like, oh man. Yeah. Like, if it was anyone else and they were given the task of reigniting Superior Spider-Man, they'd have to do it in 3 to 5 issues. With Dan Slott, it's like, I got 3 volumes out of that.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
What I was saying there, because going back to our Nova discussion, I was saying there are some legacy characters that work. In my opinion, I actually thought Wolverine worked as a legacy character.
Totally.
Because I think it works because Wolverine has established he is Logan.
Right.
He is Logan, and Wolverine is a code name. And I know the general populace thinks Wolverine, but if anybody to take the code name, the woman that he has decided is his official daughter, because she was his clone and then they retconned it so that she's actually his daughter, and that's a whole kind of mess, but she is his daughter. It made sense.
She's
literally
him. Yeah. I think that's fine. I also never had a problem with that either. Yeah.
What's that? You never had a problem with X?
I never had a problem with Laura taking over as Wolverine. I think that was great. But again, just Savage Wolverine and Wolverine.
Yeah.
Two books.
They had to make it even more confusing with the fall of X. But now they're like, now we have Talon, old X-23. We have young X-23.
She's gone. She's gone.
There's no, but I was just saying, like, they had to make it even
they
more.
They had three other. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, like, Wolverine is not Batman. You don't make a Wolverine family. It's just like, because
The best attempt at that was actually Lives and Deaths of Wolverine, where there was the family doing things
and Wolverine
Wolverine's
doing
traveling
things.
Through time. I don't know.
Yes. That's true. Actually, that was a good move. Although I will say one book was better than the other when it came to that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Which one did you? I liked the family book.
The time traveler one.
You like the time travel?
Yeah.
I didn't like about the time travel was it didn't feel like it had any true resolution. Anytime he'd get near it, it's like, and you're out.
Yeah, because it's a series. The idea was we're visiting different points in time.
Yeah, I don't know. We could disagree. Yeah. But Wolverine was one of the ones I think worked as a legacy title.
Definitely.
I don't think they made Jason Aaron made Thor work because the mystery was interesting.
The mystery was interesting, and then the execution was interesting, right. And it worked. And the thing is,
but I don't think it worked as a true legacy title though, because it was just a 2-year run of this story and this mystery.
Yeah.
And when it resolved, okay, now we're back to Thor.
Like, well, they didn't. They mishandled it. That's the problem. You know, Thor is not a legacy character. Jason Aaron attempted to invent one, and it would have worked if Marvel could have stuck to it, because the trick is you don't switch her out. You don't replace her name. You don't change all that stuff. Aaron sets her up. There is the mystery. There's the fun of it. There's the like in-universe adventures that are also have the undercurrent of who is she / when will Odinson return. But then once you're done with that, he kept going with two Thors, and that's cool. But also when he's once Aaron leaves, you need to make sure that she can go on without Aaron. And they didn't have the gumption, the stick-to-itiveness, or whatever the problem was to go, there's still two Thors, and now we're going to make two Thor books. It just didn't work out. I think, you know, it's funny. Remember Jace Fox being the next Batman?
Yeah.
And how that didn't work? And when I say didn't work, I don't mean about tone, story, character. I mean about sales. I mean about how it lasted, how Jace has not been invited to any Batman group shot photo
you know what's
session.
The weird part about that is there's like three volumes of that.
I know it ran. They dedicated.
They tried.
Right. Outside of Doom Patrol, I couldn't name three volumes of a Nick Darrington run. And yet Nick Darrington was saddled with that book. Where is he on a Bat book that isn't a book that like half the population's reading? That said, when it comes to like that, I was like, you're inventing a character. They were very big on the writer of that series, and they were like, he's our new hotness. He's gonna do this thing. Let him cook, and he did, and they let him cook for like three volumes that series, and but it didn't last. And part of the reason why it didn't last was one, it didn't get folded into the larger world. Two, it wasn't new, and three, Batman isn't a legacy character. Like, Batman is Bruce Wayne, period. That said,
the closest you'll ever get to legacy,
the closest you'll get
okay,
is Dick Grayson.
Okay, thank you.
Right? Because if you did a Bat, if you did, and again, it's like, I know I sound like a broken record, but like, this is the formula. You want two Batman books? Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson, two Batman books.
Didn't they do that, though?
Batman, I don't think
Inc.
so.
No, Batman Inc. and Batman.
Right
before New 52.
Was that true? Was that how that worked?
Dick Grayson stayed in Gotham.
He was still in Gotham, yes. But listen, that did work.
Yeah, we all liked it.
And people bought it. The only difference was, and I wouldn't call it Batman Inc. I'd go Batman, and I'd go Batman The Dark Knight or something like that. You know, like the book would be called something that differentiated enough, but not so enough that we're... Because the next Batman is a little presumptuous. I don't like that as a title. I think it's like, it's a little bit on the nose.
Well, the biggest issue with Jace in general was like, and I think this is part of the problem, he didn't get folded in, but he also didn't get folded in because they were like, well, he's the next Batman, but he has nothing to do with Batman, the Bat family.
Yeah.
Barely tied in because of Lucius Fox.
Right. Like, and it's like, that's a tough sell when you're like, oh no, he's connected to the Bat family. He's Lucius Fox's son.
Was it a disowned son?
Right.
Who has come back.
We didn't invent. He existed, but I'm reinventing him by giving him a new name. That way I can check when he's called Jace instead of Tim. Yeah.
And then like, oh, why did he become Batman? Well, he wanted to be a vigilante and found a bat suit. What?
What?
You didn't know that's how it got figured out?
Yeah. And they didn't sell it well. Like they were like, ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. And it was like, I'm sorry. I mean, like, he did look dope.
Yeah.
But, and there were some sequences that I read that were, that went hard. And I'm like, that's cool. But like, why do I care? Like, yeah. How do I get invested? And, you know, when it comes to legacy characters, the reason why I'm invested by and large is because I care about the character that came before.
Well, which brings us to the topic that brought us over. I was saying one of the legacy characters that I think works is Richard Rider to Sam Alexander.
Yes.
Especially when Richard Rider sacrificed himself. So he went down heroically.
Yeah.
So the helmet has to go somewhere.
Right. But I don't think that was it. Wasn't Rich's helmet. It was a different.
No, he found a different helmet, but yeah, it's the same like, concept. You know?
But Rich died and was replaced by Sam, but even wasn't even replaced. It was just like, there's another Nova. Cause there were always more Novas. With Rich's situation,
it was kind of like the Green Lantern situation. We're like, oh, this guy died in a new one. Oh, but that guy came back. So now we have more.
Or just the Guardians are mad at this one. So here's another one. Because like, yeah. That's how lanterns work. The Guardians got fickle and somebody like gave Gant the finger. So that's the end of that.
Now there's seven of them.
Yeah. Now there's Guy Gardner. Now there's Simon Baz. Hey,
super,
where is Simon
super tangent.
Baz?
Super tangent. Yeah. I know you haven't read Green Lantern past six where I made you read it.
That's right. No, I read issue 7. I read not the most recent one, but I read.
They have finally given a reason. Jeremy Adams gave a reason why there are so many Earth Green Lanterns.
Oh, cool.
And it's because there's like a central battery on Earth secretly.
Okay.
And that there are so many Green Lanterns on Earth because the Guardians knew that they would need to protect it. And that's why they made so many.
Fine.
There.
I'll take that. I mean, like.
And that's how Hal gets an official ring back. And now he's.
Oh, got a ring back? All right, cool. I love it. I mean, like,
he couldn't leave the planet, and he's trying to chase. They kidnap Razor, so he's trying to chase them. Can't leave the planet, and then he discovers, no, there's actually a thing here. Your ring is not a real ring. The thing was giving you a fake ring, but what? Here's a ring. Now you got a ring.
All right, that's cool. That's fine. Yeah. I like that. That's. I don't think honestly the reason why like it was like with Doomsday Clock, where they're like, why are there so many American superheroes? I'm like, well, because they were invented in America and Americans were writing them and Americans were publishing them. That's the real reason. Why are there so many Earthbound Green Lanterns? Because most people don't want to read about the fish one.
I will read a book about Chip, though. Chipmunk.
Chip is a, you know, Chip is an exclusion. All right.
DC, if you let me, me and Sal will write a story about Kilowog and Chip.
Dude.
On Buddy Cop Adventures.
Kilowog and Chip together? Yeah.
That would be you'd have the big gruff Kilowog and then Chip on an adventure. And then you gotta make Chip like the assassin though. He's the one who's trying to kill people.
Yeah.
Like you gotta make, play up the Buddy Cop angle.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like a fun like underscore like soup to nuts or something like that. But I don't know. But anyway, we'll workshop it. But Kilowog is a fun character to write for anyway, and Chip is a character that is woefully underutilized and has not been given his due. I mean, listen, I hate Nort, the dog Green Lantern, but even he got his due in the Human Target series, which I would argue is one of the most is a perfect comic book series. But Chip, where's his treatment? Where's his renaissance? It's coming one day.
One day, Chip. What about Dexstar?
I do love Dexstar. That's the cat Red Lantern.
Yeah, yeah. Out of the Red Lanterns, the only ones that anyone remembers is Bleeze, Atrocitus, and Dexstar.
Well, yeah, those are the three that are made. Like the other ones are just who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, and Supergirl.
I still want them to go back to that.
That's a
idea. Great idea.
That's a moment you can get away with in a Supergirl story arc where like she gets a Red Lantern ring and burns it out to do something really cool, and then the next chapter it's gone. Like, I don't want to see her as a member anymore, but I do want to see her become a Red Lantern.
See, that's one thing I loved when Geoff Johns was coming up with stuff in DC.
Yeah.
Because he would do things like that. He'd be like, okay, guys, so we have, like, lantern cords that are attracted to emotions with crazy powers.
Yeah.
And nobody gets them but Hal Jordan and crew? Like,
right. How about Scarecrow becomes a Yellow Lantern?
Yeah. Why has a Yellow Lantern never... Oh, you know what? Now he has. Now he's got one. Here we go. Problem solved.
Totally. No.
Why has Batman never gotten a ring? Oh, because he gets the white ring. Like,
that's Bendis. That's like a whole made up nonsense thing. It has nothing to do with Jeff.
Oh no, but I'm saying Geoff Johns made the idea like everyone else can get other rings, guys.
Oh,
like,
totally.
They're not limited to aliens.
Well, we've seen. I mean, you know, yeah, it's fun to see any of our DC pantheon get rings, especially which ones are worthy of which rings, and then having it lock perfectly in with their personalities.
Yeah.
But like it just so happens we've seen a Black Lantern Batman, a Green Lantern Batman, a Yellow Lantern Batman, and a White Lantern Batman. Because Batman also sells books, you see. So
yeah, and you give him a lantern ring, and like whenever you get Batman powers, it's a great Elseworlds
kind
of
thing. It's just fun to see. It's just fun to see, and it's fun to and it's cool to make an action figure.
Yeah. So okay, wow, we're way off topic. Hope you guys enjoy this.
That's one.
All right. Well, moving on. Until now, it's been speculation, but Marvel has confirmed Avengers 5 has removed Kang Dynasty from its official title.
Yep.
Okay. So going back to what we said with our chat the other day, where they were talking about how Kang is still good. Like, one guy came by with a random guy. Like, this is what we were talking about. Well, he had a random guy come into the chat, and he had a random tweet from a random guy going, just trust me, bro. This is Kang is still around.
Yeah.
No, they officially removed Kang Dynasty. Like,
yeah, they dropped the title. Like, if they're changing Avengers 5 from Avengers Kang Dynasty back to Avengers 5 or Untitled Avengers movie,
yeah, then
Kang ain't in it.
He's not in it, or it's gonna be like when they did I think it was Crossbones. Intro fight, Kang.
Oh my god, yes. No, Kang is gonna be like, there's gonna be a moment of Kang from the back, and he's gonna be like, and then Doom will kill him.
Yeah, that's what it'll be.
You know what I mean? And then
so maybe
like,
Kang's still in it, but he gets eradicated by Doom immediately.
Right. Or somebody goes like, hey, whatever happened with that guy who could go through time or something? Or did he ever actually do that? Because in the Marvel Universe, the only thing that Kang actually did that any member of the Marvel Universe outside of Loki would remember is go to the quantum realm. So as far as Ant-Man's concerned, Kang's power is shrinking.
Yeah. So
like, so yeah, they're just like, whatever happened to that guy? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Some dudes in business suits outside of time said not to worry about it anymore. That's literally in the end of Loki. They just go, oh, and we're keeping an eye on Kang and his variants, but I think we're fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think we're all better for it.
So that's, yeah, that one. DC announces a live action Teen Titans movie with the same writer for the upcoming Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow film. Little else is known about the project presently. Makes total sense.
And can you believe they made that announcement so quietly on like Blue Sky or whatever and nobody noticed?
That one I can't believe, because that was pretty crazy that was even announced.
Yeah.
One, for those who still want to fight to this day, Teen Titans Go is like one of the greatest selling like watch.
It's too successful, folks. Teen Titans Go did well. It did better than the Teen Titans show it was based off of. Sorry.
I mean, all of us adults want Teen Titans. That's what we want. But we're not getting it because Teen Titans Go does way better numbers for them.
And it's probably cheaper to make. It's just easier. I'm sorry. It's just, and listen, I hate it too.
Teen Titans Go? Yeah, I'm not a fan. It's got its moments, but generally.
It's got the movie. The movie is the moments it has. Like, and the Freakazoid episode.
There's a few episodes in here and there where they go like into the past. And it's got its moments, but generally, it's one of those shows that has so many episodes, I'll never watch it looking for those moments.
Hell no.
I'll just go watch a clip of the fun shit, and that's the end of that.
And the fact is, like, there are so many moments, there's so many episodes, you can't say it is the worst show ever made because there's so many that technically a couple could be good. Like, it's
How many? You gotta be curious. How many episodes of this are there?
That's a great question.
Oh God! Holy shit! There are 8 seasons, 52 episodes a season.
Oh my God. Over 400 episodes of the Teen Titans Go show. That's insane.
But everyone wants to tell you how terrible it is, and it makes no sense that it exists.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
there
I'm
are
sure
416
it is.
Documented episodes of Teen Titans Go, not including the movie. They are 15 minutes each. I will give you that.
Right.
But even if you cut these in half, that's 200 episodes of Teen Titans Go.
Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah, the writer of this, I believe, is Anna Noguera, who's also doing Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow. I'm not sure. I just know that she's essentially from TV, and so here it is.
James Gunn is picking these people, so I've got faith, and he's going to be also overwatching it, so I don't think it's going to be ass.
I don't know. I don't know this creator, so I'm not familiar, but I mean, like, here's the thing. Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow was one of the best comic books made in the last decade, and it better be great. And if it is, Teen Titans is going to have no problem. If Supergirl sucks, we're going to see Teen Titans switch creative forces.
Oh, straight up. Because Supergirl's pretty much already written.
But like,
it's
done.
It's a 12-issue comic. You already have it. You just got to convert it, and you're good. You know?
Yeah, convert it. They got the star, and you know, there's a rotating cast. It's literally there's two leads and a villain, and the rest is all character actors. You're done.
Yeah.
And it's all going to be shot on a green screen because every single scene takes place in an alien bar. So it's like there's no place that looks like Timbuktu. You're not just going to be able to go on location and shoot something. So you're just going to that it can be done. It could be shot and we don't even know.
it was done over a weekend. They just flew everyone in.
But like what we can extrapolate. Here's the thing we can pad the runtime with. I mean, here's what we can talk about right now is that like the fact is Teen Titans the movie, right? What does that mean? In conjunction with Batman Brave and the Bold, starring Batman and Damian, we now know that in the new DC universe, Batman has had at least two Robins, one of whom is Dick Grayson, and is now either gonna be Teen Titan Robin or Nightwing, more likely. So it means there's a legacy for Batman, and we're going to see Nightwing on screen. That's a guarantee.
I'm excited for that because it does seem like James Gunn is like, all right, how many solo Batman films where he's learning the ropes do we have?
Do we need zero? Good. You know, like literally.
Like, I loved the Batman. I did, but I almost want the Batman too. I almost just want Batman and Robin, and we just go in that direction.
I agree with you, but also having recently seen some clips of the Batman, I just kind of want the Batman to be the continuity Batman. But I know we're not gonna
do that. But they're not going to. Yeah,
they're not gonna. If they're not gonna do that, we can also add some up to the second details that say that Jake Gyllenhaal really wants to be Batman in The Brave and the Bold. How do you feel about Jake Gyllenhaal's Batman in this new universe if they were to go with him?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. He was apparently in the running
Mysterio,
originally.
Mysterio, right?
Mysterio, like, yeah.
Okay, I was making sure I have the right actor in my head.
Yes, yes. I would not be against Jake Gyllenhaal.
As he's got the physique when he wants it. I mean, we just saw him in Roadhouse, a terrible movie, but
I didn't see it. Roadhouse. I heard Roadhouse was good.
I heard it was terrible. Maybe we should watch it and talk about it.
Yeah, our Roadhouse roundup. But,
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. But yeah, I like Jake Gyllenhaal. He has auditioned for both Batman and Spider-Man. He has tried to be in one of these franchises forever. I think he's a good actor, and I love him as Mysterio. I think he'd be and especially because at this point, the age of we need our definitive generational Batman is over because we've done them all. We've even done a horrible Flash movie where our classic Batman came back. Like, we don't need to worry about, like, the legacy anymore. We could just be like, oh, you're Batman for the next, for this universe. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and Jake Gyllenhaal, you could do worse than Jake Gyllenhaal. And especially if this is, like, a 42-year-old Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be a dad.
Yeah. Ever since they made Ben Affleck work, like, I believe you can make anyone work. Like, you know, I hate people that are like, no, I can't see it. The guy's scrawny. He can't act. I'm like, no. If he can act, we're good.
He can wear a suit that has muscles. He could build the muscles himself. Like the days
look at Homelander. Look at Anthony Starr.
Yeah.
When he's not in the Homelander suit.
Right.
That dude has no muscles.
No. And nobody cares. Like, least of all, anybody like me. Like, I could never care less. I'm the kind of guy who's like, don't work out. Like, just put on a suit.
Did you hear how they messed with Jensen Ackles about that?
No. Did they tell him like, oh, those are real.
It was somebody told him to go buff up. So he really put on like all the muscle of the pat and everything.
Yeah.
And when he showed up, they're like, why? You could have just put padding in the suit.
Oh, that's not fair, but good for him anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm excited for this. The only thing that I was like, oh man, again, is, you know, when they launched their original DC cinematic universe, they were like, Ben Affleck is Batman. I'm like, oh, cool. Batman's 45. That's the first. He's already tired and unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is a very different
Batman. Well, Zack Snyder, he went right to Dark Knight Returns. Like,
first movie, Dark Knight Returns. Dude. But
did you know he lost a Robin too? We're not going to say which Robin or how when.
Just that
or
he anything. Died.
Yeah. There's a dead one.
Right. And what's funny is if they did follow the logic of what we're getting for the new DC universe, all that stuff still happened. Like, not that it happened in the same way, but like he will have already had a Robin. Maybe one also died and we can get Red Hood into the DC universe. I don't necessarily want that, but I teased it because I know you love him.
A live action under Red Hood under James Gunn's vision.
I mean, dude, like, you could do a Judas Contract-esque Teen Titans movie where the villain is Red Hood.
Oh, what a twist.
right? Like, just that's the reveal of like, oh yeah, no, Batman had a partner and he died and everyone guessed it. Like, that's, you know, and you could even make it so he's Red X in the Teen Titans movie, and then he becomes Red Hood in the rest of the Batman ongoing.
I mean, right, this it's is because of Batman, and... but yeah, but Red, he's Red X in the Teen Titans because, you know, he wants to mess with Dick.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't necessarily want all these things. I'm just saying these are the things that we think might happen. But as far as the new DC universe is concerned, you know, they're going to have to cast Batman. They've cast literally like everybody, figuratively speaking, everybody else in the DC universe for the Superman movie, except for Batman, which I do appreciate, because they're like, if we put Batman in our Superman movie, it will overshadow Superman.
Oh,
we need Superman
up.
To stand out, and he will against people like
I mean, that's the problem with Man of Steel 2, a.k.a. Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
it's,
I mean...
Superman's there, too.
Yes. So, Teen Titans live-action movie. My question is, who will be the Titans? Probably just the Titans from everything. Like, the Teen Titans go, Teen Titans will be the Titans. It'll be...
What I'm expecting most of the lineup for the TV show, because that's the ones that everyone recognizes.
Boom.
Maybe one or two oddballs will be swapped out.
My
Maybe Donna Troy will be swapped out with some random character because James Gunn likes
to do that. No, Donna Troy's definitely going to be in it because James Gunn is a nerd for this stuff. Yeah, we're going to get Donna Troy. It's going to be freaking weird.
We're going to have a Flash, a Nightwing, a Starfire, a Cyborg, Donna, and Gar. You think we're getting
will
that
Will they
team?
Do Cyborg? Since Cyborg was a member of the Justice League previously, like, will they reestablish Cyborg or will they go, that's kind of dicey, let's just leave Cyborg out of it?
I don't know.
Right?
I'm gonna put the diversity hat on for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Only black guy in the entire cast.
Yeah, but you could always add. you could shunt him out. I mean, you could put Static on that team. You could make.
Oh my god! Could you imagine if they swapped out Cyborg with Static?
I'd
and
be very.
Static is in a live action Titans. Oh, come
I mean,
on.
Because
come
that would on. Also be that's your next spinoff. Like if you put Static, if you establish Static in your Titans movie, and then you make a Static movie, like for you know for a modest budget, that would be like really kind of fun, and give it to you could steal. Ryan Coogler from Marvel and make him make the Static movie. I'm sure he'd love to make that.
Dude, because like from the way, I mean, even before the woke Hollywood movement, they always tried to have a diverse cast. When
they
you
did.
Have
that was just a thing that they,
I mean,
like, they were like,
I watched
oh,
a lot
sense.
Of horror movies, guys. There were, do you guys remember that? Like, everyone likes to act like this woke diverse thing is a new thing. Right. It's a joke. It's a literal joke in Scream. Not Scream, the spoof, Scary Movie, that the
scary
black
movie.
Guy is token.
Yes.
Like he's always smoking. The black guy is always in the movie and he's always smoking weed. Like there was a diverse movement way before people complained about it.
Yeah.
So that's why I say if you're going to have six people on a team, there will be a black person on that team. And
I mean, yeah.
Take out Cyborg, put in Static, though. I'm on board with that.
I'll be very okay with Static.
I'm not a fan. Cyborg's okay, but he just watches computer screens all the time. He's like, he's literally the taxi service. Here's a boom tube, and I watched that computer screen. Put Static on the team. Holy shit. Dude, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Now, I did say apparently on one of those social medias, somebody asked him, do you have plans for Static or any other milestone characters? And James Gunn said, yes. Now, that wasn't in the same sentence as Titans. Just someone asked him, I want to say this was...
I mean, a live-action Static in general.
About a year ago.
I mean, so just like, imagine a live-action Static.
I'm in.
You could
immediately sell... I mean, like, doing an Icon movie would be hardcore. A Hardware movie would be really awesome. You could set up the Blood Syndicate. Like, there's... And just set it in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Just call one of the cities Dakota, and you're good. And you're good to go. Like,
I mean, Milestone always worked with DC, which is why it's always kind of sad that they've always been at odds because of the contractual stuff. You know,
I think that's over.
I think so too. I think it is done, but we have no definitive proof. So I don't want.
Well,
I don't want
the definitive proof we have is James Gunn saying I'm interested.
Yeah.
Like, and his answers are, of course, on Threads and always being like, yes, no. No, like, so yeah, I mean, like, that's he confirmed a Teen Titans movie and a Milestone movie a year ago. So I'm in.
Okay. All right. Next, we're going to move these last two a little bit quicker because
just really quick, Blue Beetle would be a Titan because you had him cast and you have a suit.
Right. But it seems like James Gunn is going to officially kind of be like, no, we're having a fresh start kind of a thing.
They said he was in it. They said we're keeping characters and stuff. Like, I think they said we're keeping him. That movie might not be in canon, but he is.
Oh, like they're doing a Peacemaker?
We're going to Peacemaker him. Yeah.
Okay. I would still be on board with that. Yeah, I'd still be on board with that. So,
yeah. Anyway,
We briefly talked about this yesterday, but I'll bring it up again. Sony is going to be putting out all 8 Spider-Man movies in the theaters to celebrate 100 years or whatever, or like 50 years. Some celebration of Sony.
Sony lost a bunch of money on Madam Web, and so they're re-releasing all their Spider-Man movies in theaters. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Good call. Will you see any of them in the theater?
You know what? When we heard this news yesterday, I was debating it. I don't think I will. I've also gotten to a point with the movie theaters, and we've complained about those up and down since COVID. I've built such a great setup over here that honestly I've gotten to the point where they're like new in theaters. I'll just pay the $20 here and watch it in my underwear.
Well, and with Spider-Man, you have to pay anything. You probably own half of those movies.
Well, and that's just it. Like, so when I go to the theater, it's a big deal. Like we're going out to dinner. We're doing this whole thing. Right.
I'm seeing Ghostbusters in the theater.
Yeah. I'll see Afterlife in the theater. I'll see Kong versus
Godzilla again. Yeah.
I want to see it. No, the new one. It comes out at the end of this
month. Yeah, I know. I'm saying like the sequel that is the same movie. Yeah.
That one I want to see because it'll be better than my sound system.
Yes.
But all the Spider-Mans again?
You're
a bigger Spider-Man fan. We're both Spider-Man fans, but you are definitely bigger than me.
I'm a big Spider-Man fan, yes.
Which ones are you willing to go back to the theater for?
Right. I would definitely go see the first two.
Okay.
You know,
Tobey Maguire ones?
The Tobey Maguire ones. Like, I saw them in theaters.
Yeah.
Multiple times. You know, I remember I had those experiences.
So that's more of a nostalgia trip for you, though, to go see those.
It would have to be. It's not like when they re-release Indiana Jones, and I'm like, I never got to see this in theaters.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go. You know, like those Fathom events where I'm like, I got to see Frank Oz's Little Shop of Horrors in theaters because it came out in 1986 and I was not going to the movies.
I do a lot of the Fathom events. When they just re-released Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, I went to go see it.
Oh my God. I saw that in theaters. And let me tell you something. It was the most boring experience I've ever had in my life. Okay, and I saw One Fine Day.
Okay, but the fight sequences were awesome.
I don't even remember. I remember being just bored out of my skull. But I also watch a lot of those Ghibli movies when they re-release them.
Like, yep. I haven't seen them all in the theater. I keep trying to, but they do that. That's a pretty
I always forget.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, I saw Kiki. Like, that was the last one I saw.
I'll go to the theater, and they're like, Studio Ghibli movie, Fathom event. Come on down on. And I'll be like, we're booking tickets. And then, the day rolls around, and I get the ping on my phone. Are we still free tonight?
That is me and Tiffany all the time, where I'm like, hey, are we still seeing... whatever the hell, and she's like, if you want to.
That's what Natalie always says, and I'm like, I'm in my sweats, and we gotta leave in 30 minutes. Like, I'm okay.
No, I mean, if you're in your sweats, and you're going to the movies, I mean, that's basically what the experience is like, going to the movies at this point, isn't it? I mean, you know, I'm in my underwear, and I'm gonna eat loudly and be a jerk, so, you know, it's like, what was it, this isn't in the topics, but it could be easily where AMC was like, you know, why aren't people going to the movies? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe because like it's expensive and it's a social experiment. Like, it sucks.
What's like going to the airport? Like,
right? It's like going to the airport.
The moment you walk through the TSA at the airport, everyone forgets how to exist.
Oh my God.
I see people in pajamas. They're walking around in their socks.
They're eating nachos while they're in the bathroom.
They're mad at you for walking in front of them. Like, what is happening? What happened to everyone? And I feel like that's how it is. Like, as soon as you give that ticket to the ticket counter guy at the movie theater and you walk through there, everyone's like, I'm in my bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm watching a movie and I associate watching a movie by putting a screen on my eyes while I'm like lying horizontally in my bed. So it's like, I want to replicate that experience. I literally can't be entertained anymore unless I am horizontal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a horrible experience, but
I mean, I fly a lot. I got stuck at the airport leaving Emerald City, and I'm walking through gates and stuff, just keeping, and I'm like, people, what is going on?
Oh, I know.
This woman's over here. She's got her hoodie off. She's got her, basically her pants are practically off. She's just crouched in the corner with like two things plugged into the wall. Just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Those plugs are not for you. Those plugs were put there for the custodial staff to plug machines into, and yet people are like, that's mine. I do think it is horrible when people get those plug stickers and they put them at the airport or they put them on a wall, and I'm like, that's mean. But anyway, will I risk the horrible theater experience to go see a movie I've literally seen 3 times in the theater already, or any of the 8 of them? Probably not, but it would be kind of neat to power through the Tom Holland ones. Like, to watch Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home, like, all, like, all in one sitting or
in
all
one in sitting? Two, I think, well, because if it's 2 days, sitting, if it's one sitting, because we don't know for certain, and I'm going to double check this to make sure the news didn't update. We didn't know if they were all coming out at once or if they were
right, or if they're like staging them where it's like, no, this week it's Spider-Man 1, next week it's Spider-Man 2.
Every week, it's every week.
All right, yeah, I could easily do that.
But for me, that's not really an event to go it worth going to the theater. Like if they were like, we're going to do the trilogy for Tom Holland in one sitting, I'd be like, I'd be kind of down.
Like, that's like watching all the Lord of the Rings. It's like, all right, I could do that.
Now it's an event. I'm doing something special.
You get some people involved. You bring some, smuggle some food into the movie theater. Yeah.
Hate it by the ending. And you're like, why did we do this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cause I'm like, why didn't we leave after 2? I don't understand. Because that was my experience. I saw Spider-Man 1, 4 times in the theater, Spider-Man 2, 5 times in the theater, and Spider-Man 3, 1 time in my life.
Oh yeah. Same here.
Like,
all right, let's go to the last topic. Oh, I didn't know about this. Valiant, in their continued attempt to be a terrible company, is now posting and deleting a job listing at Valiant titled Generative AI Video Artist.
Yeah.
Now, it's not overly surprising that Valiant is jumping on another controversial bandwagon since they did the same thing with NFTs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even in the best case circumstances, it's not a good look. That said, it was not advertised. The NFT thing, like Valiant or whatever company, DMG or whatever, like owned Valiant at the time, made like a Twitter account, Valiant NFT, and was like, hey, NFTs,
The worst thing about the Valiant NFT, and you know this as well, and all of our contacts are out and the company's completely done now.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say it and blast everything. For those who don't know, they were like, Benny, you guys used to like Valiant. Why aren't you covering the Valiant NFT situation? It's because Valiant had nothing to do with that.
Yes.
Ever since the people that we knew that ran Valiant left, there is a corporate overlord for Valiant and they don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Yes.
And they tried to relaunch the comic company as a comic company and they never told the comic company what they were doing and they never told them about the NFTs. So when the NFTs came out, Valiant got backlash for an NFT they weren't doing, but the corporate overlord was doing, trying to make a quick buck.
Yeah. Now that said, the current situation of Valiant is quite a bit different than the NFT period. Because
I don't know what the current is at all.
Well, because they made a deal with Alien Books, and so like it's not quite the same situation. It's not quite the same people, but it's a bad look. It's a bad look overall. Now they did pull the job posting. My question is, what are you making generative AI videos for?
Yeah,
like I do know definitively. I could say this, I think confidently. I got at least an official word from Valiant that said they are not making AI generated comic books. That is not on their agenda.
That will be the worst look ever. Just look at the backlash to the possibility of the
of Batman one look. Artist maybe making like 2 pages AI, which by the way is not confirmed.
It's not confirmed still, and it's looking like if you go to his Twitter, I mean his Instagram, he actually painted this.
Yeah,
that's why I always say when people are like, "Oh my God, this random guy on Twitter said that these look the same and this is low resolution." I'm like, "Who the f*** is the random guy on Twitter?"
Yeah, he's a concerned citizen. No, Alien Books has
the
license.
It just reminded me of when people came out with Pal World. And they're like, okay, so I put a Pokemon and a Pal into a blender, and look, they sold the wireframing. Yeah. Like, thank you, random. Thank you, guy with anime photo named Neko Sun 29. Yes. Like,
yeah. No, Alien Books has a license for Valiant comic releases. They're actually launching a brand new Bloodshot book actually this Wednesday. So, you know, it's a bad look for them. But again, this is also not a thing that they even advertise. Now, it's not a good look because they didn't advertise it, but Comic Tropes was just like, I just saw this. What the hell?
Sometimes I wonder, like, who at Comic Tropes? Well, Comic Tropes, I guess.
It's just one guy.
Yeah. I was thinking of another one. But who's just there? Is like, let me look up the job listings for Valiant. Let's just see what they're doing.
In the screen grab, it said ad. So it could have been that he was just trolling like LinkedIn or something, and there was an ad posted for Valiant, and he it just happened to hove into his field of view and was like, okay. What?
I was like, if it's Comic Tropes, he's a good guy. I mean,
yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. No, yeah. But no, it wasn't like he was hunting.
I thought it was like Comic Book Resource. I'm like, do they have a guy on staff to just look at job listings?
Yeah, no, they do have, well, I doubt that Comic Book Resources would be doing a lot of research on comic books at this point. But comic tropes. I don't think he's trolling the message boards looking for like hot tips. He was just kind of like, he was probably just scrolling on social media and it popped up and he's like, what the hell? But it, you know, I don't know the situation. My question would be, why are you looking for generative AI videos at all?
Oh no, that I agree with.
Not hire a video editor or a content creator to make your videos for you.
Well, they gotta like, do it.
You know,
cheap. You know.
Yeah, but that would be my question. The other, but I do see how like it's for video. It has nothing to do with comics. It's two completely different things. And Alien Books is not Valiant. They're just licensing the license, so it's a different situation. But it is no matter what, it's a crappy look.
No, it 100% is. It continues to be the overlords over at Valiant are like, we don't have any idea what the hell we're doing, but we know we should be making comics.
Valiant needs some significant rebranding and PR to save face. And I don't think they're going to be able to engender themselves to the audience they've lost unless they divest themselves from DMG.
Yeah.
That's at the end of the day, that is, and which is something that they are incapable of doing because they're owned by that company. Like the company itself is like the characters being licensed to another book publisher to make those comics happen. It's just never going to happen unless DMG sells off the characters.
So, but all right, that is today's episode of Absolute Comics. Why do we always do this, man? We started late and we're like, it'll be like 20 minutes. We'll put to the topics. It's been a 50-minute podcast.
We did it. That's a show. That's a regular show.
Oh no, it is a regular show. We went every tangent you can imagine for today's episode.
It's great.
Thank you for joining us today. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. We put out a lot of videos over here talking about all kinds of topics. And weekly, you get an Absolute Comics episode. And on, if Dan ever figures out the schedule, we get Comics Experiment over here as well. and if you want to see more dramatically read comic books or poor opinions on comic book situations, check out my channel, Comic Historian. And if you want to see some awesome buddies chatting about what's weird in comics, check out Comic Pop for back issues. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time right here.